This week being Parshas Chukas, so that is the place in Chumash where we are told all about the, what was that? Paraduma. We are also told all about the din of Tumas Oil, that a Kohen is not allowed to be mitami himself, oil. Kol Asher Bo'el v'Kol Asher Yitmah Bo'el, is also for a Kohen to be mitami to. So that's the makar for the Isser of Tumas Oil in the Torah. So a lot of people were talking last week that last Shabbos, I think, was the Lubavitcher Rebbe's yard site. Am I correct? It was on Shabbos?
Yes.
So what do they do when it's on Shabbos? Do they go on Shabbos or do they go on Sunday? How does it work? Oh, whatever. The Yom HaHilulah. So when do they go? What? Friday? They were mocked him? I don't know.
So,
they do it on Shabbos? I don't know. Whatever it is. So basically, a lot of people were discussing about going to Kibbutz Tzaddikim. So I figured it's the right time to talk about. He definitely was a tzaddik, according to all shitas. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was a big tzaddik. And to Shaila, what's with the yard site? But Lamaisa, many people had the minig to go to his kever and to be mispallel there. So number one, let's first talk about that. Where does that Indian of tefillah al hakever come from? And then we're going to discuss a little bit about Tumas Oil and how Kohanim have to be careful about it, and what do the Kohanim do if they are from those types of people that like to visit the kever of their Rebbe? What do they do? So number one, where do we get this notion that there is something special about davening by the kever of a tzaddik? So that is really based on the Gemara in Taimus Daf Tazayin, where the Gemara says, first of all, where do we have a notion that we should go to Beis HaKvaras at all to be mispallel? So the Gemara says two reasons on Taimus Daf Tazayin. The Gemara says two reasons why it's preferable to go to Beis HaKvaras to be mispallel. Reason number one, the Gemara says, is because we want to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we are like Mason. We consider ourselves like nothing special. And we're machni ourselves to him. So when we go to Beis HaKvaras, that is obviously a sign of hachna on our part. Number two, says the Gemara, maybe it's that we should go to the Mesim and they should be mevakesh rachamim, like we say, it should be a meilat yosher. So that's really based on this Gemara in Tanis Daf Tazayin, that we should go and ask the Mesim to be mevakesh rachamim on our behalf. Or that the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us a schus on behalf of the Mesim, whatever it is, but that's why we go to the Beis HaKvaras in the first place. That's why the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and the Mechaber writes the same thing, that we have an Indian that we go on Erev Rosh Hashanah to a Beis HaKvaras, because we try to emphasize the point that we want to have the Schus Avos come to us, we want to have the Avos be Melech Yashar on our behalf in Shamayim before the Yemei HaRatzon and Yemei HaSlichus. So that is the Gemara in Tanis Daf Tazayin. The Bach actually quotes a very interesting story in Sota Daf Yodalab, where the Gemara talks all about Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Bach says a very interesting story. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu's kever was hidden? The Gemara there talks about how many different kings tried to send out messengers to find the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu, where exactly was he nikvar. So the Gemara says that no one was able to find him. So the Bach says a strange story. So he says, why?
Torah
says, right. So they tried a bunch of different times to actually pin it down, and they couldn't find it. Torah says that they couldn't find it. So the Bach over there writes, why is it so important that the Ribbono Shel Olam hid the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu? Why was it that the Ribbono Shel Olam found it so important to hide the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu? So says the Bach, that he's quoting some Midrashim, and he says, because he knows that later on in history there's going to be a point in time when Klal Yisrael is going to go into Galus, and we're going to be so downtrodden, and we're going to have a very hard time with the Galus, and we're not going to know what to do with ourselves, so we're going to go to the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're going to ask him to please be mispallel on our behalf that we should get out of this galus. No. So, what's so bad about that? The Ribbono Shel Olam has a choice not to listen to him. Says the Gemara, no, that Moshe Rabbeinu would have had the chance to get us out of galus. So therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam decided, you know what, I'm going to hide Moshe Rabbeinu's kever because I want Klal Yisrael to be in galus, Zerahim Milafanai, whatever it is. And therefore, the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu is hidden. But you see from the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu would have had the power. There's really a reason why we should go to a Beis HaKvaras to be mispallel, because the Mason really might have a power that they could be mispallel on our behalf and do greater things than we can do on this earth itself. Yeah.
Are they hard of hearing?
Meaning, why do we have to go there?
Why do we have to go there?
I don't know. Interesting, Shiloh. I mean, I think some say that, I think they quote from the Shalah Kodesh, from what I saw today, I think they say that it becomes a little bit of a makam kadosh over there, because that's where the neshama of the tzaddik is resting.
Tzaddik,
so,
yeah,
okay. Whatever, you're talking about stam basic for us.
The person also, right? The person who's coming,
yeah,
to daven there.
Right, you're saying
your house.
It has. It makes me have more kavan.
Right.
Could be, whatever. I'm not sure exactly. So that's that. Obviously, we find by Kalab ben Yifuna that he also went to daven by the kever, right, when he was with the meraglim, so he wanted to be mispalim chevron, it says, to ask the schus avos that they should help him out. The mefarshim do ask, the Chavetz Chaim on Chumash asks, why is it that only Kalev went? Why didn't Yeshua go also? Yeshua was also a tzaddik. So the answer, as we all know it, is because Yeshua, Moshe Rabbeinu, was already mispalim for him, so he knew he was fine. But the Chavetz Chaim has an interesting spin on it. He says that Yeshua, there was a marked difference between Yeshua and Kalev. Yeshua, everybody knew that Yeshua was a tzaddik. He wasn't going in the first place as a part of the Meraglim. He was going in as the big tzaddik Yeshua, who was the Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody knew that he was separate from the group. But Kalev was trying to camouflage himself and act like a tzaddik on the inside, even though on the outside he tried to act like everybody else. He tried to be like one of the Meraglim. So a person who's doing that type of dangerous move, who's camouflaging himself, who's being a little bit here, a little bit there, and he's not really showing us clearly what type of person he is, Chavetz Chaim on Chumash writes that that type of person needs a lot more of a tefillah. He needs a lot more of careful guidance exactly how to deal with that dichotomy, how he's going to act like this side at some points in the story and how he's going to act like the good side in other parts of the story. It's not so simple to strike that balance. So that's why Kalev needed a little bit more of a boost than Yeshua did, because Yeshua stayed away from the Meraglim from day one. So there's obviously an interesting discussion, which many of us have heard, whether Kivrei Tzadikim are Metame or not. So why should we say that Kivrei Tzadikim are not Metame? We know that Tumas Kohanim applies to any kever. So why should Kivrei Tzadikim be any different than anything else? So the Medrash tells us in Mishlei, I don't have any Bekiyas in Midrashim at all, but Tosfos quotes this Medrash, where that's where it became famous. There's a Medrash in Mishlei which discusses a story about Rabbi Kiva. So the Medrash tells us about how Rabbi Kiva was with Beis HaAsurim. Obviously we all know the background of how Rabbi Kiva ended up in Beis HaAsurim. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Samach Aleph that Rabbi Kiva was a gzera, that no one's allowed to teach Torah. So Rabbi Kiva decided, I don't care about the gzera, I'm going to teach Torah anyway. Ayamako kilos baravim. Rabbi Kiva was still going on with yeshiva as if no gzera happened, as if there was no decree that a person is not allowed to teach Torah. He didn't care. He went out in public and he taught Torah anyway. In fact, the Gemara says over there in Brachos Daf Samach Aleph that one of the other Tanoim came to him and said, aren't you afraid for your life? They're going to catch you. So he said, it's too bad. He said a whole mushel, but he said, it's too bad. This is what Klal Yisrael needs. This is what I'm going to do. And the Gemara says, it was only a few days till the police caught him and they threw him in jail. So now we know Rabbi Kiva's in jail. What exactly happened in this jail? We find the fascinating story that Yerushalmi says in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos in the sixth paragraph talks about Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, all the Talmidim Rabbi Kiva died. Yerushalmi in Yevamos has an interesting addition where the Yerushalmi tells us that while Rabbi Kiva was with Beis HaAsurim, he didn't stop teaching the Talmidim either. He was thrown in jail because he was teaching the Talmidim Torah, but when he got there, he didn't stop. When he got there, his Talmidim used to go and sneak next to the windows of the jail, and they would ask him shilas, and he would pass the shilas through the window. So they would try to trick the guards, and he would still teach the Talmidim Torah, even though he was thrown in jail for that very reason. He didn't give up to do it anyway. Finally, the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Chaf Aleph that there was this Talmid, Rabbi Yeshua, who used to come every single day, and he would give him a cup of water. Anyone familiar with the story? So the Gemara says every day he would come, and the jail warden told him he's only allowed to bring a certain amount of water every single day. So Rabbi Yeshua, the faithful Talmud of Rabbi Kiva, used to come every single day and bring him the water. So one day he shows up to the jail, and the jail warden says, well, this is a lot more water than you're supposed to bring. You know, we told you exactly how much water you're supposed to be bringing, and he brought more. So that's unfair to this inmate. You're not allowed to do that because the other inmates are going to be jealous. So then he got a knas, he got a penalty, and they poured out half the water, or at least half the water, and Rabbi Kiva was left with very little water. So Rabbi Yeshua walks into the jail, and he has a little bit of water for his Rebbe, Rabbi Kiva, and he tells him the whole story. Rabbi Kiva says, too bad, I'm going to use the water to wash my hands for bread. I don't care, I'm not going to use the water to drink, even though I don't get anything to drink here. He says, it's too bad, I'm going to use the water to wash my hands for bread. And he says, he was Meister Nefesh to be makbid even on Dinan D'Rabbanan. He said, I would rather die by the hands of the jail warden then to be over al divrei chaver. I would rather violate the decree of the jail wardens than to die because I wasn't keeping careful count of the mitzvahs and yisurim derabbanan that I have to do while I am in jail as well. So this is the background about how Rabbi Kiva ended up in jail and about his big Talmud Rabbi Yeshua. He used to sneak in every day and make sure to give him the food and the water in the jail. So says the Medrash in Mishlei, that was all just a backdrop to the story. So Tosfos quotes this Medrash, that the Medrash says, Rabbi Kiva was in jail, and one fine day, Rabbi Yeshua, who used to go visit him every single day, was the Shamash. So here, the Medrash says, Erev Yom HaKippurim, lo and behold, it happened to be on Erev Yom Kippur, Nifter Mimena B'Halach L'Beiso. Rabbi Yeshua goes to visit his Rebbe, Erev Yom Kippur, just like he did every other day, and he comes home. Bar Eliyahu, next thing he knows, he has a knock on the door. Eliyahu Hanavi comes to visit him, Rabbi Shua. So he asks him, what are you doing here? He says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, Amalei, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Amori. So he responds to Eliyahu Hanavi, oh, what a covet to have Eliyahu Hanavi in my house. So he says, Amalei Kluma Tatsarach, is there something I Rabbi Shua, can do for you, Eliyahu Hanavi? What brings you here? So he says, I want you to know that I'm a Kohen. Eliyahu Hanavi says that he's a Kohen. And Basi Lahagadacha, I came to tell you, Rabbi Kiva Meis Vavesa Asur. By the way, Rabbi Kiva passed away today in the jail. I know you're the Talmud who used to go and visit him, so I just want to let you know that Rabbi Kiva died. Miyad Halchu Shnei Vavesa Asurim. So right away they rushed out on Yom Kippur to the Vavesa Asurim. The Rabbi Shua goes together with Eliyahu Hanavi to go check what's doing with Rabbi Kiva. So they go there and they see Matsu Pesach Shah Vavesa Asurim Pesuach. They see that the opening, the gate which opens to the jail is open. It's wide open. V'sar beis haser ha'yashin, and they see that the jail warden is sleeping, and all the other inmates are sleeping. Strange. So they lay Rabbi Kiva down on a bed. He actually died. And they start carrying him out. Right away, Eliyahu Hanavi picks him up on his shoulders, and Eliyahu Hanavi runs out of the jail with Rabbi Kiva's body on his back. Keep in mind, Eliyahu Hanavi is a Kohen, so how is he allowed to do that? We'll see in a minute. And Rabbi Yeshua says, what's going on here? Eliyahu Navi, you're a Kohen. How are you allowed to carry Rabbi Kiva on your back? Rabbi Kiva just died. So Eliyahu Navi says, what? Oh, so 1 second. So that's very good. The Rishonim do point that out. So Eliyahu Navi answers back to him, no, because he is a tzaddik, and there's no tumas oil on, there's no tumas mace on a tzaddik or on his Talmud. So therefore, Eliyahu Navi, even though he's a Kohen, was allowed to carry the body of Rabbi Kiva after he died. Interesting. That's how we were getting Malchus, right? So that's what I was wondering today. I'm not sure how to reconcile those two things.
Also, Eliyahu
Navi
living at that point?
Eliyahu Navi was alive then.
Never died.
Eliyahu Navi was only.
So
I saw something interesting this week. The Gemara says in Bab Metzia, Yehemunah Hachiyav Eliyahu. A few cases where there's a suffix in Dini Malmus, you say Yehemunah Hachiyav Eliyahu. So if I ask anyone in this room, who's the greatest Talmud Chacham ever to live? What's the answer? Not Eliyahu Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a Nebuah's Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Nebuah ever. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Tzaddik. It's one of the Yud Gimel Ikar Yemuna. So why do we say Yemuna Chachiyav Eliyahu? Why do we say Yemuna Chachiyav Moshe Rabbeinu?
Moshe Rabbeinu's not coming.
What? What do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu's going to come back with Chiyas HaMeisim. So why don't we ask Moshe Rabbeinu? If you had a choice to ask Moshe Rabbeinu or to ask somebody else, why would you ask somebody else?
Isn't Eliyahu coming before Mashiach?
Oh, so that's what you're answering. Eliyahu's going to come before Mashiach. I saw an interesting parrot that Eima Banim Smecha writes in the Zakdama. He says no, because in order to pass in a Shailan Dini Mamanis, you have to understand the psychology of the people. You have to understand the times. Eliyahu Navi Lo Mei, so he's still living, so he's here. He can understand what we're dealing with. Moshe Rabbeinu died a long time ago. So you're right, he's the greatest Talmud Chacham, but he might not understand what's going on in our times, in our society. So he said, whatever, he wants to take it a step further and say that's why there were those who were opposed to the Yishev HaFadosh in Eretz Yisrael. The Eima Banim Smecha takes it his own way. And he says there were those who were opposed based on Shanim Kamenias, because there were Hasidic Rebbes who were against it, 50, 100, 1,000 years ago. So he says they're not alive to understand exactly what the politics are with the generation now. Whatever, so that's his own application. But Lamaisa, that's the teretz that he gives. Why the Gemara says, Yehemunah Chachiyav Eliyahu. Anyway, so here we are, we have an interesting story. Eliyahu Hanavi picks up Rabbi Kiva on his shoulders and he goes and he buries him. So, what's going on here? So Eliyahu answers him that Tzadikim are not Metameh B'meis, after they die, they're not Metameh. So the Ramban Chumash Parshas Chukas takes this literally, as well as the Chinuch, Mitzvah Reish Amach Gimel, the Chinuch writes, and the Ramban, that you're right, there is no Tumas Meis for a Tzadik when the Tzadik dies, Misas Nashika. So you're asking, Rabbi Kiva died, Asaru Gein Malchus. I don't know how to reconcile that. But Lamaisa, the Ramban says, we take from here, let's take it literally, there is no Tumas Meis for a Tzadik. So therefore, according to that, a Kohen would be allowed to go to a Beis HaKfaris to visit the kever of a tzaddik, let him go be mispalter. However,
if only the tzaddik.
So let's say we're talking about an oil, right? You have the Rebbe's oil. I don't know what it looks like exactly, but I think it's by itself.
The field trip.
Okay. Anyway, so someone else will let us know. But Lamaisa, that is not the only sheet in Rishonim. Yeah. So Tosis says in Bab Metzia Daf Kuf Yudalid. Oh, so 1 second. So Tosis writes in Bab Metzia Daf Kuf Yudalid that not so simple. Really, the real answer why Eliyahu Navi was allowed to carry a Bekiva was because what? It was a mace mitzvah. What do you mean? He was stuck in the jail. No one's going to bury him, so it was a mace mitzvah. That's why he was allowed to carry him. And the Eliyahu Navi was just, he was a nunnik. Rabbi Shua was bothering him, so he gave him a terror. It's like, yeah, okay. Tzadikim are not matami. But that's not the right answer. The real answer is he's a mace mitzvah, and that's why he was allowed to be matami to him. Tosis brings a raya. The Rishonim bring a raya. What do you mean? How can you say that a mace is not matame? How can you say that a tzaddik is not matame? Mishal ve'al tzafam. Two famous characters in Chumash who missed Pesach Rishon because they were dealing with the body of Yosef at tzaddik. So, who's a greater tzaddik than Yosef? Yosef, we know, is a big tzaddik. And Yosef was matame, and that's the only reason why they missed Pesach Rishon and had to do Pesach Sheni. So obviously you see that tzaddikim are matame. So that's what the Achronim and the Rishonim talk about, that type of raya. It's interesting that my father told me today that some Lubavitch who like to visit the Rebbe's oil, so apparently, I don't know, but apparently they go in a box. It's true?
Yeah.
So they want to say, so where does that come from? So it used to be apparently that they went in a box. So what's that about? We paskin halach l'maisa the pischet shuvah and shinayin beis and many achronim mistechem. It has a long arichas. The Chassam Sofer has shuvahs on this. The achronim are very upset with anyone who wants to be mekel and say that a coin is allowed to be matami to a tzaddik. It's not right. L'maisa the rishonim say that's not the right answer. Eliyahu Navi was just being matchem, but really you're not allowed to be matame even to a tzaddik. That is also an isur daraisa. So therefore, it should not be allowed at all. So why do some people say that you're allowed to go in a coin box? What is that about? So that's based on a Tosis in the end of Sotah, where Tosis writes that the whole reason why there's an Isser to be going within the Dalet Amos of a mace is just because we're concerned, maybe I'm going to stick my hand over, I'm going to be ma'al ala mace. Says Tosis, what's the case if, let's say, we have a mace right by the door here, and there's a coin standing within Dalet Amos, but there's a wall blocking in between. He can't stick his hand in. So Tosis says, obviously, in such a case, there would be no Isser to be within Dalet Amos of the mace, because there is no possibility of him sticking his hand to protrude over the mace and be an oil over the mace. So therefore, that's the Chiddush of Tosis. So based on that, they wanted to say that you can go in this Kohen box as long as you have four walls around you. You ever see in the city, they have people who are like walking advertisements. They have like, right? What are they called?
Sandwich
boards. So they have these people. So that's what they used to wear to go to the Kabaret Tzadikos. So the problem is that it's not so simple, because if you're a sandwich board, you can stick your hands through. Right, so that's a whole long other story. One last point to keep in mind, if you happen to be a kohen, my father always likes to point out that very often a kohen does not go to the funeral because he's not allowed to be in the building. So a lot of times he'll try to be malav in the mace to the cemetery. Right, very nice. And even if he's not going to enter the cemetery, at least he'll show the family that he's there. So he'll drive along with them. So my father always points out that the Chever Kadisha, let's say the George Washington Bridge, where you have it a lot of places, where you have a two-layer bridge. So very often the Chever Kadisha likes to go on the bottom so they don't make traffic on the top. So if I'm following the funeral procession, it's Tumas Oil, because there's one big oil on top of us because we're in the lower level of the bridge, and I have to be following right behind the car or anywhere behind the car. So a kohen has to be careful not to be mitame himself in such a situation either. If he's in a tunnel or in a bridge, under a bridge where there's something that's over him, he has to be very careful. So some want to say that no, because as long as he closed the window, so now I'm in my own oil, I'm in my own little Dalet Amos. The reason why that's not correct is because we hold that oil zaruk lab shmei oil. If you have a moving oil, if it's not a stationary oil, that does not constitute an oil. Oil has to be something that is in one place and stays in one place. So if I'm driving a car, that's called an oil zaruk.
The hearse is open that oil.
Right, no, but that's correct. But the problem is that we're all under the same roof because we're under the...
But it's not an oil, it's moving.
It's moving, but the mace is there. You have a mace. The bridge is not moving.
There are coins. The mace is inside the coffin, inside a box.
But it's moving.
Right, but it's moving.
So it's not an oil.
It's not an oil. That's the concern. What?
The bridge, that is the oil.
No, the bridge is an oil over both of our cars. So that's why a person has to be... What?
The
ohel is only
when there's nothing, everything is enclosed. And
this goes,
the
thumb
goes straight out. But
if
it's next
to
the bridge, you're
going to
go out that door.
No, that's a separate, then that's
sof
tumalatzes.
Right.
That's something separate.
That's how you have it with the bridge. I mean, it's
going to
go out.
No, but if we're under the same roof, that doesn't count. That doesn't help. Sof tumalatzes is something else. Maybe we'll discuss it another time. But with regard to tumas oil, it's pashut that if I'm under the same roof as a mace, I have to be very concerned, then I have to be careful. And it would not be a hepsik just because I'm sitting in my own car and the mace happens to be in a separate car. These are some of the things to be careful about if you happen to be a car.